Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the international time zone. This is Rhonda Harrison, broadcasting live from Red Feather Lakes, Colorado. And today we're going to have run both shows with the same lovely guest, Lynn Russell. So we're going to have Roadmap for Seekers and Searchers Roadmap with guest Lynn Russell. If you want to call in and ask questions, call in at 1-347-838-9142 and press 1 once. We'll start taking calls about 30 minutes in, and then we'll go back to discussion, and then there'll be more questions and answer time in the second half of the show. And with that, I'm going to introduce Lynn to you guys. She, as a child, she was very fortunate to be raised in a atheist home because she was free to investigate spirituality with a clean slate. Childhood, I had been interested in spirituality, and around 15 or 16, I began studying the various world philosophies to find out what other people got from them. Who or what was God? And who was this Jesus guy? From that time, I began to quest to answer my questions. Over the years, she studied the primary Eastern and Western religions and have come to understand how they developed into what they are today. About 10 years ago, she was researching a novel that she wanted to write, and in the process, she went to NDERF, Near Death Experiences Research Foundation, and she, like many people, was fascinated with the near-death phenomena. And 20 minutes later, I was hooked. I became involved with that, their chat group, and that was when Dr. Jeffrey Long asked for a volunteer to do a research for him. I was not doing any. Over the next couple of years, she has just blossomed out and wrote some awesome books. And with that, I'm going to bring her in and make her mic live. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Rhonda. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Yes. And I'm so excited about this subject because, you know, a lot of people want to know about, you know, what is on the other side. And that's usually what causes them to struggle when they die, is that they're afraid of where they're headed and they don't know where that is really.
Yes. And it's really wonderful that so many people are coming back and with these marvelous stories. You know, it's helping us anyway to understand about death. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in doing near-death investigations or what drove that passion, because you've done quite a few interviews.
Yes, I've done 2,500 research of people, but I didn't interview them personally. Some I did, but most of them were people that had sent their reports of their NDEs to NDERF, and then I would take them and tear them apart and put them back together again, and that's what my research was. And I was interested in NDEs because I was so terrified of death. For most of my life, because my mother being an atheist, when I asked her what happened when you died, she said you just disappeared, and that was terrifying. I didn't want to disappear. And so I was thrilled that so many people were coming across with these marvelous stories. It's great. And so that's what got me going, It took about 2 years or so to do the research, and then another 2 years to write the book. And I did the research for Dr. Long, Dr. Jeffrey Long, and he wrote the book Evidence of the Afterlife.
And you wrote that with the experiences that you wrote down in your research?
That's right. I did the research for him, and then, he wrote the book from the material.
Very good. Can you give us some ideas of what is in the book and how you, and what is the message with these near-death experiences? You know, it's amazing how you've gotten this information and seen a common thread, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Each person has an individual NDE. I don't think there's two NDEs that are exactly the same.
Right.
Each person has a different one. But there are common threads that go all the way through the experience. And yes, that is wonderful. Because and there's one thing, I'm jumping a bit here, so I'll
That's
go back
okay.
to your
question. We can do it however we want. There's no rules here.
Okay, my book talks about a little bit about what happens during the NDE, but primarily it's talking about the messages that are being brought back, and that's to do with how much love they feel, and the fact that about the oneness, about them all, us all being one. That's primarily what I'm aiming at when I did the research, and I saw these messages repeatedly coming and talking about how we were all one. I just was very excited about that, and so that was what kept me going and got me to write the book so that I could tell others about how beautiful they really are.
And in that research, I mean, what type of beauty have you seen, and what type of messages have people brought back?
The primary message is that we are love, that we are here to learn to give love, and that is the biggest message of all. And then they talk about things like life review, and the life review is not a bad situation, even though the person will look at what they should not have done or things that they did do and they're proud of themselves. What the message behind all of that is, what did you learn from it, rather than, you know, that you're bad, that you're evil, that you need to be punished. There's none of that anywhere. And so that was pretty cool. I loved that part. So there's no punishment. And people came back from having the life review. They came back completely different people. They seemed to understand where others were coming from and be more patient and giving and loving in their own lives. And many, many of the people that I've connected with online on the social medias have themselves had near-death experiences and are reaching out to try and share their understanding with others, which I think is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. If we can get along with others, then we're not always going to be trying to go to war.
Yes. If we could understand that we are all one, that would be marvelous. That would just be fantastic.
And that we're all lovable, and there's no one that's any better than another. You
yep,
know,
that's
my concept for that is that I imagine a jewel, you know, a large jewel, and it has numerous facets. And no one facet is more important than the other facets. They all are equal. They all have energy, and they're all connected. You know, and there's no divisional line. You know,
That's so, very nice.
Yeah, and it seems like in society there's all these lines, you know, don't cross this line, don't do this. That's not what this is about. This is about, you know, enjoying
the
adventure, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Because it can be anything you want it to be.
Yep, that's exactly. And that's another thing. That was a big one, is that you create your life. You create what you're experiencing. And that gives you a lot of freedom to choose otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a big experience and learning.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the doubters so that the listeners and can understand some of the story? Tell us some of the stories to debunk them?
Yeah, sure. Well, there are a number of doctors who just refuse to believe that, that NDEs could possibly happen. And so they'll say something like, well, it's the chemistry in the brain that's breaking down, or it's the chemicals that have, the people have been given, you know, in their operation or whatever. Although that doesn't sit with somebody who's had an NDE from an accident and you know, there's no chemicals going into their body at that time. Anyway, so that is being, that's what people have been trying to explain, that why we're having NDEs. But some, a lot of those explanations are only for the first few minutes. They would, if they were true, they would only answer for the first 3 or 4 minutes. But people who, I have people in my book that have been dead for hours. They, one little girl, she was 14 years old, and she woke up in the morgue in rigor mortis. So that takes a lot of hours to you know, bring about rigor mortis. One fellow, I mean, several people woke up in the morgue. Actually, that's not unusual. And one man lived for, it was dead for 3 days. And when they started to cut into his body, then that's when he woke up. Now he's famous. He's on the internet. Everywhere you look, you can find him. I can't say his name, George Rodinanus or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so but the fact that these people could be dead for that many hours and still come back and remember and be able to describe things and be coherent, even though the brain didn't get any blood, any hair or whatever, you know, there was, it's still, they still managed to come back with some beautiful stories. The other thing is that people would come back knowing things that they couldn't possibly know, that they could describe what the doctors even thought while they were working on them, that they could describe the people that walked in and out of the room. You know, they were able to talk about relatives that they'd met that they had never heard of, you know, or, for example, finding out that they had a brother or a sister who had died before them, and they'd never been told about it, and they met that person on the other side. And so there were too many of those kind of stories that put credence to it and made it more real, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it is a huge difference, you know. And even, you know, societies and the cultures are starting to question more, you know, and they're looking outside the box instead of that fear and damnation. Stone, fire, all of that, and, you know, they are looking into, you know, what if this is part of the heaven thing, and I've just been wallowing around in my mushroom patch in the dark, you know?
Yes, and I have run across a few people, 2 or 3 people, who have been researching Muslims' NDEs. And, I mean, they're basically the same, but the fact that they are having them and sharing them, and I'm talking Middle East people, you know, that live in the Middle East and having NDEs, I think the message is just alive. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And the message seems to be building momentum. I mean, I've noticed it's building since 2012, but in this last year, it's really gone, you know, like the momentum's bigger, and then you could feel it building for 2016, and now it's like on a downward.
It's almost like planned, isn't it? Like as if it was, there's something going on behind all of that, that it all of a sudden we're having all of these wonderful information coming to us. I think it's wonderful.
And part of what it is, I don't know if you know who Black Elk is, but Black Elk, you know, envisioned and intuitively said that there would be a time that they would call the Rainbow Bridge, where all of the cultures would start to respect each other and come together to share their medicine. And that's what's happening, is they're letting out, you know, their verbal lineage and that type of stuff that they've never let out before. And and it's just amazing how, you know, they're now coming forward. And it's just like he foresaw that, you know, we were going to be finding a way to go back to nature since we had overdone it.
Yes. It's really beautiful. And I'm finding in my social medias that I've connected with, I originally connected with them because I wanted to promote my book, but I'm so delighted with the people that I'm meeting, and they're just so beautiful and warm and caring. And I love it. I love, and I'm seeing young people are so... much more into.
I'm going to let you talk for a minute, Lynn, because I've got someone at the door. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
So just keep going with the show. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. Well, as I was saying, I just find that young people today are so much more aware, and I think they're more open to hearing the messages of spirituality and how free we are, and the joy and the love. I really get excited about that, and sharing it with so many people. I just think it's fabulous, and I really do think it's a worldwide movement. I don't think it's just you know, the Western world. I think it's happening everywhere. And I wish some of our leaders, somebody said that to me, too bad politicians, that isn't a requirement that they have an NDE first, which I
think
is a good thought.
Exactly. I mean, and it's, you know, it's like, come on, you know, why are we putting all this money overseas all the time when we've got homeless situations in the United States and below poverty level places that people are living with their children, and the children aren't eating good food? You know, why are we, you know, sending it over there, you know, building up our debt and stuff, instead of taking care of those of us that are already here, you know?
Well, and it's a world, what do I call it? Population. The population is a world population. Yeah. And we're all one. Even those guys over there. They're part
of one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're all one. I mean, there's bad eggs in the bunch, but there is room for change. But a lot of it's because of all the animosity that they have, you know, due to thousands of years of repression and fighting.
There's a lot of work to be done. And so maybe we will, with a new government that's coming in, who knows what your company, your country will bring to us in our next in the next election. That would be interesting to see.
It's going to be interesting. I think it could go any way right now, but it's, you know, it's very beautiful the way you know, there's so many people that are vying for the office. Usually it's you have a choice of two people and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year, you know, you have a choice. You have five or six to choose from.
And I'm Canadian, so I don't, I can't vote, but I'm sure interested. I watch everything. I'm very political.
Yeah.
You know, just to watch and see how it's going to affect them. What happens here? How is that going to affect something over there? So, it all boils down to love and respect and caring.
And I think that has a lot to do with compassion.
Yes.
Unconditional compassion.
Yes.
You know, so that people feel like they can maybe take down that veil. And not, you know, be struck down, get in trouble, or get stoned to death, or get put in jail.
Yes,
you know,
and there's so much fear. Yes. Yes, that's what you're saying. You know, to get rid of all this fear, that's then there is nothing to fear. One of the things about NDEers is that they, when they have, after they've had an NDE, they're not afraid of dying. And so they'll challenge themselves and do things that most of us would say, I don't think so, you know, but they don't worry about it. They just go for it. Some of them are daredevils, you know, because they think, oh, well, it's okay. I don't care if I die or not.
Exactly. And to have that freedom of, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up with that freedom. I mean, I was raised in a Mennonite church, so it was a very cultural, living off the land type thing. But
yes.
And a lot of, you know, judgmentalness and
yes.
no, a lot of no's. You can't do that, no. You can't do that,
yes.
no. You
yes.
know, and I think
yes.
we're becoming more open now and allowing ourselves to say, see what else is out there. Someone the other day, I heard him call it the United States is like this spiritual. You can choose and check them out and try them on.
Yeah. Well, have you read Anita Morjani's book? I can't remember. Is it Dying to Live? I think it's called. And
I don't
she, yeah, she is. She talks. She had cancer, and she was. At the very end stage, she'd had it for almost 4 years, and she actually was at the stage of dying when they took her into the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said, well, we can't do anything. She's too, you've brought her in too late. She's, you know, she's on the last, she's dying. And the family pleaded with her and begged, and they finally said, okay, we'll give her one chemo treatment, and that's all they did. And but while this was happening, she was having near-death experiences, and she was floating in and out of death and back again, and you know. And the one thing, she was raised as a Hindu, and she, and again, she had what you said about all these rules and regulations and how, you know, you can't, you must do it this way and blah, blah, blah. And she came back knowing how free we really are. And she gives a beautiful analogy in her book that I just love. And it's that there's this huge monstrous warehouse that's filled with everything that you could possibly even imagine and more. And we're only looking at one shelf. You know?
Wow.
And it's true. It's so true. I just love her book. I think it's so opening. But it relates to what you're just saying about, you know, how we limit ourselves and the rules and regulations and do's and don'ts.
Well, I think that, you know, that fear is what keeps us stuck from really enjoying our life. We think we have to work this many hours, we have to do it this way, you know. And bottom line, life is to live, you know, and if you don't make mistakes, you're not going to know when you're making a success either.
Oh, yes, yes, that's true. That's true, yeah. And there's so much to have. There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it.
I do, too.
Excited. Yeah, it's very exciting. And one of the things I would like to talk about is suicide, just briefly before you open up the
That.
Yeah. One of the things that I learned about suicide is that it's sort of hard to explain, but people who commit suicide have three choices. First of all, they are told very loud and clear that this is not a choice that they have had, that this is not something they should have done because they chose this life to accomplish a specific goal, and they've stopped themselves from doing that. So if the body can still maintain life, if they haven't destroyed it like shooting themselves or something, then they will be brought back into the body to finish and to choose another direction. If the body is too... Sorry, I've got to clear my throat just a sec. Sorry. If the body is too damaged, then they are given two choices. One is they can stay at that level and go over and over and over the situation that they were in and try and find another way through without suicide. Or they can choose another life with exactly the same circumstances, and they have to live that. So the bottom line is they don't get out of it. They still have to face whatever it is that they're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do quantum theory and things like that, and I think that plays a big part in this near-death experience, is that, you know, it's such a big cosmic energy that,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's infinite.
Yes,
instead
exactly.
Of being so finite.
Yes. It's so beautiful. I love it. Yes, I do quantum with my workshops. I talk about quantum mm-hmm. physics. I talk about astrophysics. I talk about holographic universe. And I talk about, and holographs, what they are, and I talk about studies of the brain and consciousness and how science is trying to find consciousness, and they're not getting there. They can't seem to find it. And then I also bring in NDEs and how that fits in to the mm-hmm. the overall message. So it's a beautiful message. And the bottom line is that we are all one. So
yeah.
There we are back there again, you know, in true consciousness.
Right back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's good, you know. And how does the brain operate during this time of being between consciousness and the divine?
Oh, that's a good question. One of the things that I've found is that people... I better back up a bit. When a soul comes into the body in the womb, they start to build a personality and an ego, and that continues all the way through until whatever age they die. And so it is the soul that is your personality and your ego. Your ego is your soul, believe it or not. I know people don't believe that, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And that soul lives this life. It goes to work, it sleeps, it mm-hmm. has friends, it does all the things that you do. That's your soul that's doing that. And your soul isn't out there somewhere floating around watching all of this, you know, vicariously. No, it's right here experiencing. And I learned that through being a hairdresser. I've never seen a dead person before, and I volunteered to do, well, I didn't volunteer, I got a job doing hair on a deceased. And when I walked mm-hmm. in the room and I saw this dead person, I saw the soul was missing. There was mm-hmm. something gone from that person. She was just a mannequin. There was no person there, and that I knew was the soul. And that's when I realized my mother was wrong, that there was something, you know, that went on. And so, mm-hmm. and that was so beautiful for me. Anyway, it was a very positive experience to learn that. But I also know that soul is what we are. And so going back to your question, when we leave this body, we take our personality with us because we are soul, and the soul has the personality, has adopted the personality, has integrated that into themselves. And then what we have to do is we have to recognize that we are a spirit, and then that's when we start to see ourselves separated from that personality.
Very interesting, because, you know, I and maybe you can answer this question. I've noticed I have a grandfather who's 106. And
he
drifts off, and then he comes back, and he drifts off, and he comes back. But the last few times I've seen him, you know, he doesn't have a glint in his eye anymore, in his eye.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he's starting to not recognize me or my mother, and he's always recognized
us. Oh, yeah.
And I think he's in that final stage.
Yes, that's right. So he's sort of drifting in between stages,
mm-hmm.
Between death and life, yes. And I think you can do that. I think you can float, but the thing is that the body still keeps going. So there must be some energy still in there to keep the body still going.
Well, with my grandfather, he never had taken any antibiotics or any medications, never had been in a hospital, only had supplements. And I think what it is his body's so healthy that it's just continuing to go. And he is left already because he was wanting to go home, you know.
Yes.
And it's very interesting how it turns around. And, you know, I've helped cross people over to the other side.
Right.
And I always can see, unless their soul left earlier, I can see the soul leave through a window or through a vent or whatever, or straight up. And it's so amazing to see them. You know, it's just like it's quick.
Isn't that wonderful?
Like, there they go. And it's like, it's so freeing, you know, because it's not a struggle. Because when I do the crossings, I use essential oils that I make and certain feathers. And what it does is it relaxes them. And they just quit breathing. They don't struggle in their last breath or anything.
Yeah. And it is wonderful. There are more and more reports of deathbed sightings or experiences that include, you know, the body leaving or the soul leaving the body and someone actually witnessing it. In fact, I've even heard of someone that went on the trip with them to the light and then they left and the person continued on. So I thought that was pretty amazing too.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because, I mean, I think it happens as varied as there are people, but yet there's that common thread of, you know, that you're lifting up and out.
Yes.
There is a soul and a spirit there. And a personality. And I find it interesting that the personality goes with them, you know, so that, you know, when... I think that's why there's times you see people and they look familiar to you. It's because it's the same. It's them reincarnated, but maybe not even in.
In looks, and we have soul groups too. So, you know, you recognize them because you've seen them for centuries. So, you know, you've shared lives with them.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the workshops that you do and how that works? Well, let's take a break for a couple of seconds or minutes, and so we can get water and a cup of tea or something. And listeners, if you want to call in to 1-347-838-9142. Lynn can talk to you about what it is, what your experience has been, and she'll have some type of feedback or knowledge that the rest of us don't have because she's done all this research. So let's just take a little bit of a break and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the South and the North Americas with ease in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends, though gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Now, was that synchronicity or what? Because I just pushed one of the songs and it was that one.
Right.
That's just too good. You know,
yes,
talking
perfect
about
timing.
Yeah. And you know, it is that time of Atlantis that they're talking about. We are in the Aquarian Age. You know, we started
yes.
into the Aquarian Age last year.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know. I knew
yes.
Aquarian was around, but I didn't know when it started. Well, that's
it started
interesting.
Last year. At a spring equinox.
Okay.
Huh. I went to a ceremony that we brought the equinox in, and we experienced it in this new energy, and from it leaving that hard or crusty type of energy we've had, and this is so fluid and so water-like,
uh-huh.
and where we are looking at, you know, we're sharing things and joining together instead of breaking,
right.
instead of splitting apart.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that I wouldn't mind talking about is evil.
Yes.
People have, this isn't a blame statement because I think it's been going on for centuries and the message is being passed down and passed down. But there is no... there's no discipline. You don't get punished. It doesn't matter what you've done because you are one with the Creator, and the Creator can't punish his hand or its hand because it or its finger or even, you know, I mean, you cannot. It just doesn't happen that way. And people do have negative experiences. Yes, they do. They go to hell. Very few, mind you. I would say maybe 2%. But they do happen. And usually what we find is, number one, when the person says, I want to get out of here, they're out, just like that. And the second
yeah.
thing is that they are told that they've created this themselves. That there is no hell or evil. It's they created it themselves, and the only evil is what we create right here on Earth, and not something
right.
that is waiting for us when we get finished this lifetime.
And what I've heard and experienced with some of the different healers that I've been on the radio is that when the millennial and the 2012 time frame changed over, they brought in the new Mayan calendar. We're in a time of letting go of ancestral stuff that we don't have to carry on that burden anymore.
Yeah.
We can tell it to leave and develop ourselves. And what it is, though, you tell it to leave, and then you find what I've told people and I've done myself is then I put a positive, the direct opposite of that problem or, you know,
mm-hmm.
habitual,
mm-hmm.
you know, medical problems to release
right.
them. You know, and then put in health and put in, you know, good nature
yes.
and put in
yes.
being happy, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's amazing how it changes.
Yes. One of the things I talk about in my workshop is the consciousness and how strong that consciousness is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I believe that it's part, that's where we link. That's where the spirit links to the Creator. And through consciousness. And we can create amazing things like multiple personalities, for one, or the stigmata is another one. That, and when stigmata used to be in the middle of the palm, but then all of a sudden they found out, well, no, it can't be there, it has to be in the wrist. People are having stigmatas in the wrist now. You see, so it's all consciousness. It's all what we bring and what we give to ourselves. Interesting.
And letting those scales fall off of us so that our heart can open and take in this new energy, taking all that crusty stuff off the outside and making it supple again.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm just so amazed at how, you know, I mean, they're working more together on the government end, for the most part, in regards to looking at the whole picture instead of just this country or that country or this little speck over here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
you're seeing it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just interesting to see, you know, government heads changing things. You know, when they went to Cuba, and that's like been, you know, the curse of, you know, you're bad, so we're not going to talk to you. Or whatever, you know, and some of the strife is there from old energy. It's the strife that they've had for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's like it's time to make your own identity and step forward, you know, and step into the game instead of being a spectator.
And the other thing is that bringing it back into everyday life, And you know, we can have all this head knowledge, but to bring it into your everyday life and show caring and love and respect and whatever, you know, compassion and whatever is needed. And sometimes nothing, doing nothing is what's needed, you know. Mm-hmm. But to know the difference. I used to be a family counselor, and I was almost for 30 years, about 28-ish. And that's one of the things that sometimes you have to know, that there are times when you don't do anything, you let that person work it through themselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting that you have been working in the mental health field as well. I was a detox and addictions counselor, working with children to adults. And, you know, and it does make you look at, you know, there's a lot of downtrodden people because they've been told, you know, from abuse, from years and lineages of family, you know, and now is the time to let all that go and open yourself up to this beautiful, unconditional love. And I know how hard it is to trust it. You know, you have to kind of put your toe in the water and step back and put your toe
in the
water a little bit more and step back, you know, but now it's more like walk into your ankles, step back, walk up to your knees, step back. And then just walk in, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you have to just jump into the pool, and you don't know what the temperature is going to be, but you just have to do it.
So
follow your fear.
Yeah, exactly. And I have an acronym for that. Instead of, you know, the fear taking you over and you being, you know, in that fear state, I say turn it into a positive and say face everything and recover, or face everything and, you know, and do, you know, the beauty of your life, you know, and just change it so that fear doesn't have that power over you. And that's that entity that is out there of repression that wants you to believe that you can't do this.
Right. And change is beautiful. You know, it's something that we get ourselves frightened of, but certainly it's a major part of our world, especially today, you know, with things changing almost every second day. So, yeah, it's very important to let it go and to know that you'll be okay. And you will be okay, because really, when you think about your reality, you're connected with the biggest power there is in the whole universe. Yeah. Well, more than that. Multiverse.
So, And can you talk about the studies being done on consciousness?
What's happened is that, yes, there are a number of different studies that are being done. And one of them, for example, is when does consciousness start? Well, one test is when the child can see and recognize themselves in a mirror, then they are conscious. And that's around 2-3, around there.
Yeah.
And then there's also people who say, well, no, the baby is conscious when they can play peekaboo and they can recognize that you're separate from them. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, that the consciousness begins in the womb.
Exactly.
When the baby is starting to react to any sounds or the feelings or whatever, you know, whatever is surrounding that infant or that, I guess it's embryo. No, it's not. What is it? Fetus. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Yeah. You know,
embryos,
so
when they're really little. But it starts at the embryonic stage. And it's amazing how two tiny little things can be such a beautiful person and grows into a beautiful adult. And no two of us are exactly the same.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Different, you know, and it's amazing how, you know, we all, thank God we're not in a cookie cutter, you know, society.
Exactly.
We all get down and cut out and then, you know, and you don't have any fingers or toes.
Yes. I'm just bringing up, here we are. I'm just going to bring up some information on my computer about consciousness so that I can use some of the other things. One of the things that we have to recognize is how powerful the consciousness is. Because did you know that the particles that make up the atoms of the universe, the atoms in your body and everywhere in the universe, those particles obey the mind of the person who is working with them, I think that's amazing. We talk about mind and how our mind is so strong and how we can bring things to us, but there's black and white proof, you know. I think that's wonderful.
I think we're seeing more and more of that proof because people are starting to share, and like that movie that about the little boy who comes back and knows that heaven is real.
Yeah, I think it is something like that. Wait, heaven is for real. Did you know that our brain, one of the researches done by Dr. Dean Radin, he did a research on, he had an EEG cap on the person's head, and he was feeding the people pictures, and what he wanted to do was he wanted to see how the brain would react to different kinds of pictures, and some of them were very peaceful, loving kind of things, and some of them were shocking, and how the brain would react. And they found out that the brain reacts 5 to 10 seconds before we do. Something in the brain picks up the message and feeds it to the brain, and then we react. We don't react right away. Isn't that amazing? I love that. It sort of says, to me, that says that the consciousness is outside, being the bigger, larger consciousness of the creator, of the source, and that we are connected in that way. And so our reaction is through that consciousness. Do you understand what I mean? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh, no. Rhonda?
I'm here, but I'll be right back.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry.
For being there. I thought, oh, no, we've been cut off. Okay. All right. Well, let me talk about the things that have that are showing consciousness that we just don't understand. For example, savants, people who have abilities, and they don't have, they don't make any sense that that person has that ability, whatever that ability might be. We've also found that plants have consciousness. They can put an electrode onto a leaf of a plant, and they can think to the plant loving thoughts and whatever, and the plant almost purrs. And then they can also think about evil thoughts, like they're going to cut the plant down or something like that. And the plant will react, especially if they start approaching it with the scissors. So, they do. The plant will react.
Yep, they do. Sorry, everyone, for my momentary lapses of having to walk away from this studio today. I had surgery 2 days ago, and I'm having some difficulty with some things. And so I'm having to take calls. And that's the other thing. Just so you know, we're going to end the show at 12:30 Mountain Standard Time, 30 minutes before the hour, as I have to do some treatment that has to be done at a certain time. But I appreciate your guys' love and prayers. It's made a huge difference. Sorry to cut you off there, Lynn. And listeners, if
go
you
ahead.
Want to call in to 1-347-838-9142 and press 1 once, we will be back here and we'll hook you up to be live on the studio and you can ask your questions or comments. Okay, that's my spiel. Oh, can you tell me how to get a hold of you and what your website is and email?
Sure. My website is lynnkathleenrussell.com. That's it. It's really super easy. And I use Kathleen because there's so many Lynn Russells. The world
right.
is loaded with them. So that's why I use the Kathleen. And I'm also on Twitter, at Lynn Russell, and on LinkedIn. That's Lynn Russell. I'm also, I'm under Twitter, I'm under Art Soul 2. And that Art Soul is one word, 2. And then I'm on Google Plus, which is Lynn Russell. And I'm on Facebook under the name of my book, which is The Wonder of You, What the Near-Death Experience Tells You About Yourself.
Can
so
we talk
you,
about that a little bit? In
sure.
In regards
yes.
to what it... I'm curious as... I mean, and you and I've talked, so, you know, you could give me some idea. Listeners, I've had numerous near-death experiences, and I'm wondering, you know, with the conversations we've had, what is it that it tells me about myself?
And
is it that
so,
you move up in change, or?
Well, I think the big message that I got was that we are not evil, that we are connected in the oneness, and that we are here for a specific purpose. This isn't an accident. We have a goal that we've come here that we're going to accomplish, and that is I should talk about that. That's chosen. Before you come into this body, you choose what kind of world you're going to, you know, what kind of existence you're going to have. And you talk about your goal, all right? This is the goal I want to get. Okay, so then you choose the race, the country, what you look like, you know, whether you're going to be a glamour girl or a hunky guy or whatever, or you're just going to be a normal, ordinary person on the street. Are you going to be, you know, every little thing. And you also choose the things that the people that will help you along the road to accomplish your goal, whatever that goal happens to be. So, yes, there are those kind of things, but not everything that happens in your life is meant to be. Because otherwise, if that were the case, then it would all be pre-planned, and no matter what you did, it was meant to be anyway. And why have a life review and learn from it if it was meant to be? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it also seems to me to be abdicating responsibility for our actions if we, you know, don't look at what we've done.
Right, and looking at our side of the street and not everybody else's, and what we can do to make a change, because it starts with one person making a change and then another person and then another person. And it's like a chain reaction, you know, and you're seeing a lot of that right now. You're seeing a chain reaction where things are getting more violent in some parts of the world and other places where it's more peaceful and loving and accepting of the people. Or there's different cultures and different, you know, communities where they're a softer, more not so regimented society.
Yeah, and we don't need to pit ourselves against each other. We are a competitive race, you know, like human beings. We've had to fight. Maybe that came from having to fight for food and whatever, but we don't need to do that anymore. You know? We can give, we can share.
And it's you know, it's sometimes it's the giving is a smile to someone who looks like they're having a bad day.
Yes.
Or you know, somebody on the street and it's cold outside and you give them your gloves, you know, or you give them a cup of tea that you're not gonna serve. They can't afford it and you have it in your hand, you know, and you know, it's like, here, take this. You know, I mean, at Christmas time, I did a lot of random things like that where I would just have, you know, a cup of hot chocolate or whatever and just bring it over to the person and say, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy
That's nice. And, that's a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas is doing something like that. Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's for very, you know, you don't know them, but you can see that, or maybe it's a pair of gloves and their hands look cold. Or, you know, whatever. I've been doing this project called Shawls of Love and Hugs for people that, you know, are in the death process. So, or they have, like, they're very ill and they need support. And in those times when they're alone in their room. Because when I had my spine surgery, people gave me shawls. And what I noticed was that it was like a big hug. And a hug of love and understanding and compassion. I started a project where I do that and I send them out to different hospices, cancer units, neonatal ICUs for babies, you know, children's hospitals, you know.
Wonderful.
It started out where I was just taking them locally, but now I'm getting emails asking me to send them to specific people in a specific town. And it's amazing how it's catching on. And, you know, and when I did it, I came up with a saying in the interview of the day. I launched it on Martin Luther King's Day last year, that this is a project of softening the soul of just one shawl at a time.
Lovely. I love it. That's so nice. That's the kind of thing that people who have experienced near-death experiences understand and do, because they understand how important that is to give to one another. Yeah, that's beautiful. Very good. Excellent.
And I think it's just very interesting how, you know, that energy can, you know, is in that material, and for them to know that you've sat with it and prayed with it and it's blessed.
Yes.
I sat with a Himalayan salt angel, you know, and they're cleared. And I don't go out and buy the, you know, I mean, sometimes I buy expensive ones, but what I've been doing is repurposing them out of thrift stores. Because a lot of them are brand new. And it's like, why not just repurpose these, you know, and make it a blessing for someone.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And of course, what we were talking about, the consciousness, prayer. I mean, the effect of prayer on people is very important. We found that out. I mean, we don't understand it, but it's wonderful. Well, I understand it because we're all one. But so what you're doing is right on. That's excellent. Yeah.
And I think that we need to, you know, society as a whole needs to get that more softened approach. You know, where you show compassion for someone else's suffering, and it's not all about if you're going to be able to eat at McDonald's today or eat prime rib, you know. And realize that there's people out there that barely eat anything, you know. And there's quite a few of them. And most, there's a lot of children, you know, that don't have food at home. You know, there's these new programs, you know, that food's brought in, but you know, so that they have food for the weekend, you know, and I think it's just, we just need to soften up a little bit, and it's okay to open our hand out to another person rather than it being a closed fist.
Yes. I have some quotes here I would like to read.
Sure, I'd love to hear.
Okay. Richard is a 8-year-old, and he's a spunky little guy. I think he was a bit of a little devil when he was a kid, or when he was alive. But he's come back, and he's finished his life. But anyway, or he's continuing his life. So when he's 8 years old and he has a near-death experience, and he says, well, where is heaven when he's up there? And they say, this reality is an extension of you, instantly realized and formed. You always create. You own your reality, no matter where you find yourself, for we are all co-creators. And then he says, well, where's God? I can't see him. And the answer comes back, how can you see that which you are a part of? We are all expressions of God. When you see with your eyes, you see through the eyes of God. And he experiences reality through yours. When you speak to God, you speak to yourself. We are one and the same. There is division or separation. There is... No, wait, just a minute. Well, there is no separation. Any that seem are an illusion. Thought that was beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the, we're seeing more. Go on ahead.
No, that's fine. You're welcome to break in and whatever you need.
I'm just saying, you know, we're seeing more and more of that, where these children that are coming in since 2012 are very smart beyond their ability, you know, where they have this ancient wisdom, you know, like they're looking around, checking things out.
Yeah, and they become more intelligent too. By the way, they're very intelligent. They're, you know, excelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's another one. This is Kara, and Kara says, "I was a part of a collective consciousness. The universe, everything was connected. Words do not do justice to describe how it felt to be the only energy, only a speck of consciousness connected to everything in the universe. Time had no meaning. Everything was one, and everything was so awe-inspiring. Everything was me, and I was everything, and everything was all connected." So that's the kind of thing that I heard over and over and over in my search, you know, when I was doing my research, is how connected we all are and how we're caught in an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Of separation, but we're not. They're not separated. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's that duality thing that really isn't there as much as we thought it was.
Yes. Yeah. It's very lovely. Yeah. And we feel separated. I, sitting here, do not know how the man across the street feels. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a person in China is doing or feeling. So there is this illusion of separation, mm-hmm. when in reality there's no separation at all, not through the soul. The soul is constantly connected.
Mm-hmm. And infusing with other people, and then, you know, they change. And that's what I wanted to talk about is, you know, from my experiences of near-death mm-hmm. experiences, it seems mm-hmm. like, you know, each time it happens, I change quite a bit. I mean, like in my belief, in my trust, in my way of asking for things,
yes.
or seeing things. And,
yes.
Do other people see that as well?
Oh, very much. They come back completely different people. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're much more kind, they're caring, they are more honest, they work for the good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have heard people say they've had near-death experiences, and I ask them to tell me about it, and it's not a near-death experience at all. It's it may be out-of-body, maybe, or
mm-hmm.
it could be you know, just a spiritual experience, which is spiritually
right.
transforming within them. But, but people who have had near-death experiences are vastly different. And sometimes that's good for them, and sometimes it's not, because very often
mm-hmm.
marriages fall apart.
The
spouse says, this isn't who I married. But, which is strange. I mean, personally, I would love it if I had more caring, loving person with me. But anyway, that's their choice.
Well, yeah, and I was just thinking about, we think that, I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay, Rhonda. I do it all the time. So, how many near-death experiences did you have? Do you know?
Well, I had one when I was 12. I had
yes.
one when I was 14. I know what I was going to say is each time for me, it is an out of body experience where I leave and I come back, but it's not like I can watch over myself, and sometimes it's very different. Like I'm getting rid of bad karma, bad juju. But in the last few years, it's more about, I've taken on the idea and the phrase of, well, I'm just going up to French Kiss God and I'll be right back. You know? Because I'm single and stuff. And I said, I just have to get a little more of that energy so I can come down here and spread it around some more.
Yeah.
And people look at me like, what do you mean French Kissing God? You know? Said, well, you know, you have to get that extra jolt of energy, you know, and maybe it's not God, maybe it's an angel this time, or maybe it's, you know, or whatever. You go and meet with your divine self, meets with another divine self that needs to finish some type of work, and maybe you're the one that's going to do that.
Right, right. And who knows that in connecting that way, you might be helping that other soul.
Exactly.
Move on in their ways, you know. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they are, like, stuck. You know, and I'll see
mm-hmm.
different people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I go along the path, come on, let's go this way. And mm-hmm. I had a reading done not too long ago because, you know, a lot of us talk about how we have dark spots or wormholes or whatever to go through the portal to the other side. And my portal, I don't have any darkness in it anymore. It's like iridescent, fine fiber optic. Connections, you know,
right on.
Connecting out. Huh?
That's great.
What'd you say?
Yeah. No, I just said, cool, that's cool, that's great, that you're not having any darkness. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're rewriting the language so that everybody can understand. It's like it's rewriting the alphabet, because it's like a spider web, and with the Native Americans, the spiders who brought the alphabet or their language to them.
That's clever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. And so when you, now I've lost my train of thought. Okay, go ahead.
I just have friends that tell me, like, when I have heart stuff, well, your heart must need to be bigger so that you can love more, show more compassion.
Mm-hmm.
My shoulder surgeries that I'm doing now, they're saying, well, obviously your shoulders need to be stronger to be able to do what work you're doing.
And so how does that feel for you when they say that? Does that feel right on?
Oh, yeah. It definitely feels right
on.
And then I make essential oil remedies and salves and stuff. And a lot of times what will come out of it also is a recipe from the divine for a specific type of ailment or that experience makes this oil and that salve. And now I found out that salve works on gout and other things, not just on pain, not just on helping someone cross over, but on depression or whatever. And I infuse them with the divine and bless them, and then they're made, and I don't measure it, and I bottle them, I label them. It's not like doTERRA or Young Living where it's mass-produced. It's produced in small batches on the full moon or the new moon.
Yeah.
And I find that it somehow energizes me, and then
do you give this? You give it to yourself, but do you give it to others?
Oh yeah, I sell it to people, and I work with people to help them go through that different thing. And on my, I call it riding the wave of life with the divine.
Okay, well, we know about I think it was called Through the Wormhole. No, that's wrong.
Right.
Name. No, that's the wrong name. Down the rabbit hole? No,
down the rabbit hole. That's one of them.
Okay, well, I don't remember. Oh, I know what it is. It's What the Bleep Do We Know? Had a water thing where the guy, people would think at water and change the molecules within the water, and they would be either very beautiful because their thoughts were very beautiful, or they would be ugly and twisted if their thoughts were negative. And that sounds like what you're doing with your product is that you're putting those positive love vibes into it and changing the molecules so that, and there are studies that prove that people who do that with water feel better and are healthier and, so, that's very interesting.
That's why I wanted to interview you so badly. It was like, how do you explain to someone a near-death experience? Because, some people look at you like you've lost your mind. Or other people will want to know all the fine details. And it's not really even about the fine details. It's, for me, I feel like I'm getting filled up with the next dose of whatever.
Yes.
If it's compassion or if it's pain relief or if it's getting rid of depression or blessing babies, or... making a goddess oil so that the person can go from baby to adult to crone, and I just find it very interesting how, other people that I've spoken with that have crossed over, they also have something that they're here to, they've come back because they haven't finished their work yet.
That's right. Yes. Yes, that is a big one, that most people are sent back because they're not finished yet. There's something more that they need to finish. And it may be something as small, well, I'm saying small, and maybe it isn't small, but raising your child. I mean, maybe it's completing that task. Or it might be something big like being, a guru. So it just depends on the individual. I don't know if you've heard of... Mellon Thomas Benedict, and he had a near-death experience. It was really super big. It was one of these blow-your-mind kind of experiences where he went to the beginning of the universe and back. And he came back with vast amounts of knowledge, and he's still doing inventions based on what, and I think he's connected because I think he continues to get messages even now.
Right.
And he does all kinds of inventions and products and things to give to people or to help the world based on what he's learned. I think it's fascinating. Anybody who wants to look up, he's on the net. You know, he's a big, he's one of the big names.
Yeah,
and a wonderful experience. But it's amazing. It's so wonderful to know how these people have become such beautiful souls in the world. We need that. And I wonder if they have near-death experiences for that reason, because they're going to come back and share their experience and help others.
Or maybe that experience is needed to be able to change the path that you're on, or to make it more passionate at a different level. I mean, I noticed that with mine.
Yes, absolutely. And some people will be asked, and I've heard this a few times, they'll be asked, what have you done with your life? And usually it's because they haven't done what they're promised to do, or they're not accomplishing anything. They're keeping, you know, within themselves and not sharing. And so that's another lesson that they learn, just as you've said.
Yeah, and sharing is really important, you know. Instead of it being such a big secret about death and everybody being afraid of it, it's something to really check into and to look at. I had a gentleman on the show a while back, and he looked at the spirituality of the brain. You know, I mean, it is a spiritual part of us, you know, different things. And the brain lights up in different places when we're in a spiritual experience.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, that's true. Well, did they call it a God gene or something like that? I don't know.
I have it like in a book, and then the DVDs, and it's Spirituality of the Brain. And I can't remember the author right at the moment, but it's an amazing book and very, you know.
Interesting. I'd like to read that one. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called Spirituality of the Brain, or the Spiritual Brain.
I'll look it up. Yeah,
and it's just amazing how, you know, we are sharing this information due to the internet and everything else. We can be interconnected around and share these things rather than being stuck just in what's happening in our culture or whatever. And you see the commonalities of the change and the building of the momentum.
Yes. And what you were saying about your oil, and then we were talking about the blessing of water with positive vibe. Well, we're made of water. I mean, how much of us is water, you know? So if we just bless ourselves and be kind, and it just comes back. It has to.
Well, it's kind of like the old thing goes, you know, treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, not the way they're treating you. You know, and then that change can happen.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've never had that life experience of someone being kind to them. You know, they've only had abuse or trauma, and so they aren't trusting.
Yes, which is a shame. But
it is.
But if they will, you know, are aware of this information, then they know it's out there. You know, the kindness and the near-death experiences and the consequences of them. I'm trying to think of other things that we've learned from that I learned from near-death experiences. Time and space do not exist. That's a tool that we use here in this at this level of existence. So it's something that is a tool for being separate, but it's not a reality. But then Einstein proved that already.
Exactly. It's like, oh yeah, how did we get here? You know, and it's amazing how these, you can see it in the crystal children, the indigo children, those children where they have knowledge about things that that they shouldn't have that knowledge, but they're so young and so pure that, you know, it just comes out of their mouths, and it's like, wow, it's like out of the mouth of babes.
Yes.
And it's just amazing how that all works. Can you let the listeners know how to reach you again and and about your workshops?
Yes. Oh, well, my workshop, you can register for my workshop online, but I haven't got a lot of data. I've got a workshop coming up in Nanaimo on March the 5th, so in a couple of weeks. And then I'm booking, and I'm in the process now, so I can't, unfortunately, give you dates. Ontario, I'm going to be going to Ottawa, St. Catharines, Hamilton, and two or three in Toronto.
Very nice. And you list those on your website, correct?
Yes, yeah, the information will be there, yes. And my website is lynnkathleenrussell.com, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, and G+, and LinkedIn. So if anybody wants to find me, pretty well can find me by my name.
Yeah, me too. You Google my name and all my radio shows come up. And my and my healing hummingbird oils comes up. It's like, wow, I used to hide out so that no one knew where I was. And now I'm like seen across the internet.
Right. Yes.
So very
interesting. And I often will retweet or repost stories or messages on different subjects that we're talking about, and there they are on the net.
Yeah.
So you Google me, and I'm there. There's lots of me there.
Yeah, lots of you there. And how do they get your book? Do they get it through your link or through your website? I mean. Or through Amazon?
No, well, no. They can go to Amazon, and in Canada, it's at Chapters Online, and in the United States, it's also at Barnes & Noble Online, and it's also on Kindle. And I have another book that I wrote. I love it. I just love this book. It's a children's book. Although I'll tell you the truth, adults love it. They just really love it. It's called Warple, W-O-R-P-P-L-E. And what it talks about is that we're not alone. It's about a little boy with an attitude, and so he's learning these life lessons, and he learns that we're all connected, that he's not alone, that love is the biggest power that there is, and that kindness is contagious, that it grows. Yeah. So Warple, W-O-R-P-P-L-E, and there's two on Kindle. The one with the butterfly on the weird-looking butterfly on the cover is the one I'm talking about. The other one's mine too, but I took it off the market and I don't know why it's still on there. You know, I don't think you can order it. I think it's out of print.
Okay. So, and listeners, if you want to suggest someone to be on the show, something you want to learn about, know about, experience on. Online, you know, through the podcast, you can email me at searchersroadmap@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook as Rhonda Harrison, and also on LinkedIn and Google Plus. I have three different Google Plus ones, one for the radio show, one for my oils, and then one for my other work that I do with rocks and stones. And so, you know, I think that we're getting close to being done. Is there anything left that you would like to touch on, Lynn, before we close for today?
I just want to say trust yourself more and know that you are beautiful. And thank you very much for listening.
Yes. And this will be available as an archive within 10 minutes after I end the show. So it'll be before 1 o'clock. You can download it, send it to someone, It can be your own private listen, or you can just listen to it and just come back to listen to it instead of downloading it if you don't want it to take up room in your computer. And it's also on iTunes. And we're just going to be bringing more and more interesting people into your world through this podcast around the world so that you know what your options are and if there's something that resonates for you that's going to make you a better you. Hopefully you can find it here on Roadmap for Seekers and Searchers Roadmap, because it's all about getting the information out there and you realizing what a special you are. So, Lynn, I hate to say goodbye. I'd like to continue this for another hour, but I have a responsibility. And thank you, listeners, for being patient with me during this time that I've been hurt and ill. But, you know, it's brought about some amazing transformations, and you are a part of that, and I really appreciate your prayers, your thoughts, your positive energy. And it does travel across the energy basis, and I can feel it. And so do it for whoever you have, you know, on your heart today. Show them a little compassion. Say a little prayer for them. You know, because you never know what it is that you are going to say or do that may make a big difference for that person in their life.
And I want to thank you for very much for having me, Rhonda. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
And I to having you when you have your next book done and it's ready to be brought out, that we can do it on the radio, and then we'll have links on the internet so that people can see what it is you're offering and be able to push on it and you know, look it over while they're on the show, and then be able to ask more questions. And thank you, listeners, for we are going through some changes on the Renford Network, but it's only to get us better and stronger, and we're going to have more shows coming in the near future. And have a blessed day and a blessed week. Do the next right thing, and you can't go wrong. And thank you, Lynn, for joining me today in this wonderful conversation about transformation and trust and realizing that, you know, a lot of times these near-death experiences are very beautiful and very much needed to help society move along forward.
Yes. And thank you. I'll let you go now. Okay.
Thank you. Everyone,
all right,
have
bye-bye.
A good day. Bye-bye.
You too.